Good morning. It's Friday, March 6th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Coming up, we actually look back to the 1940s, when the Superman radio program took on the Ku Klux Klan. That's after the news. The National Weather Service is forecasting the potential for severe storms this afternoon and evening. Forecasters say the storms bring the possibility of large hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes. Additional severe storms are forecast for late Monday into Tuesday. Cornelius Morgan is a lieutenant with the Wichita Fire Department. He says when people hear tornado sirens, they should get as close to the ground and as far indoors as possible.
If you have an underground cellar, use it. Make sure the door is secure. And allow yourself plenty of time to get to that cellar. Let's not do this Wizard of Oz thing and just start floating in the wind. That won't be good.
Morgan recommends people not only take cover, but also cover up to avoid flying debris if they're caught in a storm. McConnell Air Force Base is storing and relocating its aircraft ahead of the expected severe weather. Officials say the KC-46 Pegasus and KC-135 Stratotanker aircraft will be relocated to other bases across the country by active duty and reserve crews from multiple air wings. Remaining aircraft, vehicles, and equipment will be stored in on-site hangars for protection. Representatives from the base say this will help maintain readiness and prevent damage to the aircraft. Mayor Lily Wu will deliver her second State of the City address on Sunday at Century 2. The event is open to the public. The mayor's speech will run from 5 to 6 in the evening and will be live-streamed on the city's YouTube channel. During her weekly briefing yesterday, Wu said her address would include her thoughts on the special elections results. Earlier this week, voters overwhelmingly rejected a proposed 1% citywide sales tax, which was the only item on the special election ballot. Transgender Kansans who had their identity documents invalidated by a new state law say they face uncertainty as a court hearing over the policy approaches. The law invalidated driver's licenses and birth certificates that have had the gender marker changed. A state judge could decide today on whether to block the law from taking effect while it faces challenges in the courts. Iridescent Roney is a transgender woman who was born in Kansas. She says officials at the state office that handles birth certificates weren't prepared to help her comply with the law.
They were confused. They didn't know what to do. They even told me there's a chance that I just don't have a birth certificate anymore.
Supporters of the law say government documents should reflect a person's sex assigned at birth. Kansas lawmakers are working on legislation to remove possible non-citizens from the state's voter registration list. But as Zach Boblett reports, non-citizen voting is extremely rare.
The bill directs the Secretary of State to compare the statewide voter database with the Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or SAVE, system twice a year and once 6 months prior to any federal general election. SAVE is a database that checks a person's immigration or citizenship status for public services. The legislation comes despite non-citizen voting being a statistical anomaly, according to Kansas Secretary of State General Counsel Clay Barker.
Removal is for being a non-citizen on the voter rolls is usually in the single digits.
Republicans argue the legislation is a simple data-sharing plan with the federal government and not focused on non-citizen voting. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
A local attorney and businesswoman has announced her campaign to challenge Republican U.S. Congressman Ron Estes. Katie Tindall will run as a Democrat in Kansas's 4th Congressional District. She currently runs her family's oil and gas operating company. Tindall recently founded Leading Kansas. The nonprofit aims to promote civic discussion and protect democratic institutions. Tindall says her campaign will focus on lowering the cost of living, expanding access to health care, supporting small businesses, and defending the rule of law. Estes has held the 4th District seat since 2017. Wichita aviation giant Russ Meyer has died. He was 93 years old. Meyer was the longtime chairman and CEO of Cessna Aircraft, which is now Textron Aviation. He was born in Davenport, Iowa, and was a Harvard-educated lawyer and former Air Force fighter pilot. Meyer joined Cessna in 1974 and became one of the most influential leaders in general and business aviation in the country. He helped build Cessna's Citation jet empire, leading the company until 2003. He remained chairman emeritus and stayed active until his death. Meyer is honored in the National Aviation Hall of Fame. A Wichita Public Library branch is adding new life to its collections with a community garden. The Maya Angelou Library in North Wichita is launching the I Rise Community Garden in honor of Angelou's 1978 poem, Still I Rise. The garden joins the branch's existing seed library, which allows people with a library card to take home up to 3 seed packets each visit. Jamie Nix is the public library's director.
Gardeners of all ages will explore the sciences, nutritional well-being, environmental stewardship, and patience while here at the library. Kids get to witness the life cycle firsthand, adults reconnect with land, and the library becomes a living classroom.
People can tour the new garden during the library's kickoff event for Big Read Wichita on March 29th. Daylight saving time arrives this weekend. Clocks will spring forward 1 hour at 2 a.m. Sunday. That means losing an hour of sleep in exchange for more daylight later in the day. The sun will set at 7:30 on Sunday. The American Red Cross says the switch is a good reminder to test and change batteries in smoke alarms. AAA is also warning people about drowsy driving caused by losing an hour of sleep. This year, daylight saving time ends November 1st. We'll be back after this.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. In the 1940s, Superman was one of the most popular radio programs in the nation. During World War II, Superman took on the Nazis, but when the war ended, the Man of Steel fought an enemy closer to home, the Ku Klux Klan. Matthew Algio reports on a forgotten chapter in the history of the superhero who grew up in Smallville, Kansas.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Up in the sky! It's a bird! It's a plane! It's Superman!
Millions of children and many of their parents listened to Superman, which aired 5 nights a week on the Mutual Broadcasting System. 80 years ago, in 1946, Superman took on an emerging post-war domestic threat, the Ku Klux Klan. Colin McRoberts is an associate teaching professor of business at the University of Kansas. He's written about the Superman series in an essay included in a new collection called The Lizard People Don't Want You to Read This, Essays on Conspiracy Theory and Popular Culture. McRoberts says the Superman episodes were based on meticulous research conducted by an enigmatic white civil rights advocate named Stetson Kennedy.
We know that he was an heir to the Stetson Hat family. We know that he walked away from a fortune because he was disgusted with his family's racism, and then eventually dedicating his life to the destruction of the Ku Klux Klan.
In the series, a white kid named Chuck Riggs loses his position as a starting pitcher on a Metropolis baseball team to an Asian kid named Tommy Lee. When Chuck complains to his racist uncle about losing his starting spot, the uncle takes him to a Klan meeting.
And as the car stops, Chuck gasps at the strange scene before him. In a glade, casting weird shadows over the nearby hills and lighting the sky above, burns a huge wooden cross. Before it, kneel half a hundred.
The baseball team's coach is Jimmy Olsen, who works with Clark Kent, Superman's alter ego, at the Daily Planet newspaper. Eventually, Jimmy and the Daily Planet's editor, Perry White, are kidnapped by the Klan.
So, you are the high mucky muck of this bunch, eh?
I'm the grand scorpion of the Klan of the Fiery Cross.
The grand rat, you mean? Release us at once, or by heaven, you and every one of your hooded hooligans will go to the electric chair.
You're in no position to threaten us, but the time...
Superman, of course, ends up rescuing Olsen and White. Colin McRoberts says the series damaged the Klan less by exposing its racism than by exposing its greed.
The real heart of the serial, the part that really shows how they were taking aim at the Klan itself, is a conversation between two characters who are members of the Klan of the Fiery Cross, which is their kind of analog of the KKK. One of them is essentially a grand dragon. The other is kind of a more local leader. And the more local leader is a true believer in 100% Americanism. And his superior is a businessman who breaks him down over it and explains, you don't believe that crap, do you? We're here to make money. We sell these idiots robes. We sell these idiots crosses.
I thought you had brains, Riggs. But obviously something's happened to you. You've become drunk on a slop we put up for the suckers.
Suckers? Who are you calling?
Our members, Riggs. The poor fish who want to hate and blame somebody else for their failures in life. The saps who believe drivel such as a man is a dangerous enemy because he goes to a different church.
McRoberts says the series has lessons for us today as the country grapples with fake news and conspiracy theories.
And I'm not asking for media to, you know, constantly hector people with morality and say conspiracy theories are wrong, conspiracy theories are dangerous. But sometimes they kill people. And it's useful, I think, for media to focus some attention on the damage that those conspiracy theories do and who the victims are and how it damages the believers, too, which is what Superman was doing in pointing out what is really happening behind the scenes of these beliefs.
Ironically, McRoberts says he wasn't much of a Superman fan growing up. He was more of an X-Men guy. I'm Matthew Algio.
And finally, for your Friday, the sounds of Gridiron, a long-running annual tradition in Wichita where local journalists poke fun at the year's news and politicians. It's a fundraiser for the Society of Professional Journalists Scholarship Fund. Gridiron performances start next week at Roxy's Downtown. KMUW's Haley Krausen attended a rehearsal for this Wichita soundscape.
Because it opens at 2.
I am Jenny Mitchell. I am the director and the choreographer. It's a political parody of everything that's happened in the news and the media in Wichita and nationwide. In the last year, we parody it just like an SNL skit with songs and skits and humor, hopefully, and just a lot of fun.
Any time of year.
Any time of year.
Folks party here.
We are raising money for scholarships for kids who are studying anything in the media. That's what the fundraiser is for. That's what this whole production is for, is to help raise more people to do what these people do for a living.
With those big black markers, agents working 4 hours, they really don't know what to do.
This is not a family-friendly show. I would say this is maybe a PG-13. Oh, you think it's R? Okay, this is an R-rated show. It is not a family-friendly show.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back on Monday. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
A long time ago, inhabitable did mean not habitable.
And you used to have uninhabitable, which you don't have now.
We're looking at beginnings, endings, and everything in between. That's this week on You're Saying It Wrong from KMUW Studios.
KMUW's next Pint Night will be at River City Brewing Company in Old Town. You can meet other KMUW listeners and get to know our staff. We'll help provide some quality conversation, but we can't do it without you. It's 5:30 to 7 on Wednesday, March 18th. I hope you'll join us.